My father, who for me was larger than life, I mean, he fought in the Second World War as a battlefield medic, and he used the GI Bill to become a television technician in the Bronx. And the thing is, I was the oldest of four children. It's typical African-American family, typical as it could be in the 50s. And the thing is that he looked healthy. He looked robust. The thing is, what we didn't realize is that he had a weak heart, and he died of a massive heart attack. He was only 33 years old, and I was 10. And it destroyed my world. I mean, it shattered it. The thing that I was lucky about was the fact that he thought education was very important. And he would bring me little toys like gyroscopes and crystal radio sets, and he loved to read. And that was the thing that helped me. And even though, you know, I was reading some books, my favorites were the Classic Illustrated, because what they did was they would actually take classic books and then put them in an illustrated form. And then at the end of it, they would actually encourage people to read the original. So about a year after he died, I came across the issue was H.G. Wells' The Time Machine. And that turned everything around for me, because before that I had been a rather depressed kid. But now, all of a sudden, I had a focus. I had a mission in life. I thought, if I could build a time machine, I could see him again, maybe tell him what was going to happen and change things. And I mean, after he died, we plunged into poverty. It was terrible. So that came a secret mission. And the reason why I say secret is because even at the age of 11, I was astute enough to realize that if I told people that I wanted to build a time machine, since they were already worried about the depressions I was having, I didn't know that I wanted to deal with the consequences of that. But I kept that as my secret mission. And the thing is that what was fortunate for me was about a year after that, I came across this popular book about Einstein. It's called The Universe and Dr. Einstein. And in it, it said Einstein said that time was not something that was absolute. It could, in fact, be altered. You could change it. One of the ways you could change it is by going fast enough, that if you move fast enough, a clock would slow down. So what I realized is that if Einstein, because I knew he was this great genius, and incidentally, what was interesting is he died in the same year my father did, in 1955. And the thing is that I thought, if he says that time can be altered, then maybe this notion of a time machine that H.G. Wells was talking about is real and not just, you know, science fiction. So that became my second passion, was to learn everything about Einstein. So eventually I learned enough about it. I mean, I'm skipping through a lot. I should mention that recently I've written a book called The Time Traveler. Okay, it's a time traveler of science's personal mission to make time travel reality. And I talk about, you know, what it was really like, you know, growing up and the ups and downs and everything like that. But eventually, I followed my father's footsteps. I went to the Air Force during the Vietnam War era. Then I used the GI Bill to go to Penn State. And I became a theoretical physicist. I kept it a secret, even all of that time. And the way I was able to keep it as a secret was the fact that there was something that I could study that I found out affected time, and it was considered legitimate. And these were black holes. Black holes, as you may know, are stars that have actually used up their internal fuel, and then the star starts to collapse. And as the star starts to collapse, the gravity around the star becomes so great that the very light that tries to escape from the star gets pulled back to the star. So if you're standing outside, you see nothing. And that's why it's called a black hole, because all the light's being pulled in. Turns out that black holes also affect time. The closer you get to a black hole, the more time will slow down. That is to say, if someone's watching you as you're getting close to a black hole, they would actually see your clock slow down. Now, the thing, Kyle, when I'm saying time and a clock, I'm not talking about just a mechanical clock. Your heart rate, your metabolism are clocks. That means that your heart rate would be slowing down. You would actually be aging less than someone who was not near the black hole. So if you got close enough to the black hole without going into it, you would actually find that it would be a kind of a time machine, because you would find that everyone else was aging at a normal rate compared to,
because they're not near the black hole.
They're right. They're not near the black hole, exactly. So when you left the black hole and came back out, you might find that you're only a few hours, you know, older, but hundreds of years could have passed for everyone else. So that meant that if I studied black holes, then I could do this. So black holes were considered a crazy idea, but was considered legitimate crazy, unlike time machines. So that's what I made my career, is studying black holes. And eventually I did have a breakthrough in the real science of time travel, because I realized that there was another way of altering time that could be done without using a black hole. And that was my main breakthrough. What I realized was that light actually can create gravity. Now, remember, one of the things I said is that the gravity of a black hole can actually affect time. So that means that gravity can affect time. Okay, and that's part of Einstein's theory of relativity. My breakthrough was is that if light can create gravity, and gravity can affect time, then that means that light can affect time. So my idea was to build a type of a time machine that actually used light, lasers, in fact. And what I found is that by using that, it is possible to actually alter time in such a way that you may be able to go into the past as well as the future.
Now that this is no longer a secret, you've told other people, and you have been the subject of lectures and on television, I'm sure the question you get asked most by lay people is, people want to know, well, is it close? Is this something that would happen within the next 100 years? And to what degree, when you can time travel, are we talking 2 minutes? You mentioned going back in the past.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I should mention that this device using light would actually allow you to go into the future as well as into the past. I was primarily interested in going to the past. And it would depend on, and this is the limitation of it. Let's suppose that I had this device and I turned it on today, okay? Then the device would start affecting time today. So if I left it on, let's say, for 10 years, then someone, as long as I left it on continuously, someone 10 years from now could travel back 9 years, 7 years, all the way back up to the point that the device was turned on, but they can't go earlier than that. So, yes, you can travel into the past, but only from the future, okay? You can't, as soon as you turn the machine on, go back to an earlier time.
We can't go tell Julius Caesar, look out for Brutus.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, and that's you know, a real time machine. But what that means is that even though, and the way I like to say it is that even though we can't visit, you know, our ancestors, our descendants may be able to visit us.
I'm sure that you get these sorts of looks that you're getting from me right now, that it's just like, I can't quite understand that. I mean, when you're talking about light and gravity, that makes theoretical sense. Again, I'm not a theoretical physicist, but there just seems to be some sort of human-designed block to fully grasp what that could be.
Well, and that's because of the fact that we live in a world in which we haven't been able to alter time very much. But you have to realize that we lived in a world in which we weren't able to originally travel to the skies, you know, prior to the Wright brothers. And then prior to, space flight, I mean, the notion of going to the moon was pure science fiction. It's technology. Technology is allowing us. And all of the things that I've been telling you about are all solidly based in real physics of Einstein's theories. So that's where the solid core is. And it just seems strange to us because we've never been able to do it before. But we are going to be able to do it. And the technology for it is right almost at hand.
Finally, you're about to have the more conventional time travel, the Hollywood version. You'll see a younger version of yourself on screen because Spike Lee has obtained the rights to your book.
That's right. That's right. For me, it's been very exciting. This was a few years ago that Spike Lee became interested in my book, and he decided to make a feature film of it. And so, in fact, the script was just finished recently, and it's going to be a regular Hollywood-type movie with regular actors and things like that. I can't say who my favorite actors I would like to play because Spike has asked me not to do that. But the thing is that it's very, very exciting. And for me, the notion of being able to see my father again, and in some sense, Spike will actually be bringing him back for me by bringing him up on the silver screen. But yes, that's been a very, very exciting development.
One last question. When you were 10 or 11 and you had this secret, could you fathom that your life would be like this?
No, I couldn't. I mean, but the thing is that it was a very lonely journey because I didn't have really much of a social life, and I actually focused on this mission of mine. So, no, I didn't have a notion that it would lead to what it has. And it's very exciting.
Thank you so much for your time.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you, Kyle.